Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This idea of nationalizing banks is not comfortable, but I think we have gotten so many toxic assets spread throughout the banking and financial community throughout the world that we're going to have to do something that no one ever envisioned a year ago, no one likes, but I would not take off the idea of nationalizing the banks.
That's Republican Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press. Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Just how drastic is the economic crisis? Drastic enough for conservatives like Lindsey Graham to push for nationalization? Is this bipartisanship of a new kind or just panic politics? Joining me to discuss the drastic measures and key provisions of the stimulus package, as well as the state of bipartisanship and all the latest political news, is Ken Walsh, White House correspondent for U.S. News and World Reports. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Nice to be with you.
So, as we just heard, the word nationalization was the hot topic on the Sunday morning talk shows. Is the financial sector so damaged that even conservatives, Republicans, are now advocating for what they once would have called socialism? What is Lindsey Graham calling for, and is it likely to happen?
Well, you know, this is a crisis, and you know, if you look at the things that most affect everyday Americans, the nation's losing about 600,000 jobs a month, and that's a huge number, and there's no end in sight. And so, there's a sense that everything that can be done to stop this and to stop the home foreclosures and to stop the credit freeze needs to be done. If you have a Republican like Lindsey Graham talking about nationalizing the banks, I mean, what they've been talking about is loosening up the credit, let the credit start flowing again through, forgiveness of debt and having the government take over some banks or at least take over some assets, the bad assets, so-called. But what Graham is calling for and what others are now starting to get the ball rolling on is this idea of the government actually running the banks. That's the kind of drastic step we haven't seen in a very long time, and it's sort of the kind of fundamental reassessment of the government's role we haven't had really since the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson or the New Deal of Franklin Roosevelt. So the whole debate in Washington has gotten to a very fundamental level now. It's really remarkable to me. I started covering the White House back in the days of Ronald Reagan, and who changed the whole debate to slowing the growth of government, reducing the growth of government, reducing the influence of government. Now we've seen this seismic shift. We're back in the notion of the government is the only, as President Obama says, the only institution that can really have the wherewithal to pull us out of the economic ditch. And more and more people, including Republicans, are feeling that way.
Yeah, really fascinating to see some of those same players from the Reagan era as part of this current call. Are we talking about all banks, some banks, parts of banks, when we talk about nationalizing the banks, in quotes?
It's basically the banks that are in trouble and the banks that can't seem to get their act together, so to speak. And, we're a ways from this happening, but just the fact that a conservative like Lindsey Graham is talking about it shows just how far things have gone. And, you know, another example of this is this whole idea of executive compensation, where this is a direct populist, assault on the old free market principles that we thought were embedded in the system for a generation now, where the stimulus bill talks of requires executive compensation limits that on all banks that receive bailout money. Now, the administration didn't even want to go that far. They just wanted limits on banks that received what they called exceptional assistance from the government. So this goes beyond what President Obama wanted to do. And now the administration and some of the shows, the Sunday shows, some senior officials, including the White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs and the senior counselor David Axelrod, saying, well, we would like to change that now. We'd like more of a balanced approach. But, you know, as there's sort of a sense on the Capitol Hill that among the Democrats who control things, that this is an anger that they have to address, that the people who ran these banks, ran them into the ground and have to be sort of punished for it. and that means limiting their pay.
Well, let's talk specifically about why this idea seems to be coming to the fore now. Are we seeing more data? Is there information that was hidden or unknown before? Are the banks in worse shape than we thought or than we knew?
Well, I think they are, and I think that part of the problem is that when President Bush was in office, they passed the $700 billion bailout, financial bailout plan, half of which, $350 billion, flowed into the system rather quickly. That didn't seem to do much of anything. It didn't unfreeze the credit. And what a lot of people in Congress were asking is, well, we put all this money out there. What are the banks doing with it? Why aren't they helping people with their mortgages? Why aren't they lending more? We don't really have the answers to those questions adequately. And so that's part of the all this ferment in Washington. All this money's been spent, and the credit markets are still frozen. People are still unable to get loans. People are still having trouble with their mortgages and are being foreclosed on. And that's affecting, you know, virtually every congressional district. So that's why you have all this feeling out there that something has to be done to freeze the markets. Different approaches to it in different places, but basically the crisis is not getting any better.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Ken Walsh, White House correspondent for U.S. News and World Reports. Ken, one estimate has the U.S. financial sector itself in debt to the tune of $400 billion. Does that comport with your reporting, and is that part of what's inspiring this new push toward nationalization?
Yeah, well, sure, absolutely. The White House and President Obama was relying on Tim Geithner, who's now the Treasury Secretary, to sort of pull us out of this. He was with the Federal Reserve. It was a very, very much an expert on a lot of these things, but also was part of the solutions that the government was trying to come up with in recent years and that didn't work. You might have seen the stories about the Detroit. I mean, this is a very complicated situation, but the president wanted to name what they called this car czar, somebody to run the bailout of the auto manufacturing industry, and now he's decided not to do that and have the Treasury Secretary essentially run this. So there's just many, many pieces of this, and one is this: the auto industry, which is central to many parts of our economy. It involves not only, you know, the cars that we see, but, you know, steel production and batteries and all kinds of things where people work. And so it's very complicated. And the more you look at it, the more you see why the government, back to the President Bush's time, why they were so rattled by all these reports, because just what they were being warned about is happening. The freezing of the credit markets, the foreclosures, and the job losses. And the job losses are what I think most people on Capitol Hill are worried about.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, no cars are now.
Right.
What is President Obama's new plan for saving the auto industry?
Well,
tomorrow's the deadline for GM and Chrysler to demonstrate how they're going to repay these massive loans to the government. What can we expect?
Yeah, well, that's right. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is we'll have to see what they come up with, and we'll know that in the next 24 hours. But basically, the initial thrust of this was to form a system where one person would oversee the restructuring of the auto industry. Now the president has thought twice about that and decided not to do it. We really don't know how it's going to go. A lot of this has not been worked out, and part of that is what Tim Geithner is supposed to oversee now, this effort across the government to actually manage the automakers' restructuring. It gets back to that role of the government again in this very fundamental industry, not only banks, but the car manufacturing industry. The government is going to be right in the middle of managing this restructuring, which would have been unheard of, two decades ago.
All right. Well, let's talk stimulus bill. We know the Republicans took a very firm line on the bill, many analysts saying that they're banking that the plan won't work or will be perceived as a failure by the 2010 elections. We're going to talk bipartisanship in a moment, but let's play a couple of clips. Here's Obama's advisor, David Axelrod, talking with David Gregory of Meet the Press.
First of all, bipartisanship isn't just measured by the number of votes you get. It's measured by the dialogue you have.
You were the ones who said you wanted 80 votes in the Senate, though.
I wanted 100 votes, David, but I don't think that that is the measure. The measure is, do you move it forward, and do you have productive conversations?
And here is Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on ABC's This Week.
This is going to be bipartisanship. The country's screwed. I know bipartisanship when I see it. I've participated in it. I've gone back home and gotten primary opponents because I wanted to be bipartisan. There's nothing about this process that's been bipartisan.
All right. Ken Walsh, White House correspondent for U.S. News and World Reports. Was this a bipartisan stimulus package or not?
Well, I think there was an effort by the Obama to reach out to the Republicans. There's these very heavily covered meetings. He went up to Capitol Hill a couple of times, sat in on the caucuses, and I was interviewing some senior White House people who were in the Clinton administration for 8 years, and they said, well, we never were to a Republican caucus ever in those days. So there were some dramatic efforts to reach out, but I wouldn't minimize the notion that some of this is not only, you know, political gamesmanship by the Republicans, sort of putting the responsibility for the economy on the Obama administration and the Democrats, but some of it is genuine principle that an opposition to the level of spending in the $787 billion stimulus package. And I wouldn't minimize that the ideological part of this, but is it bipartisan? Well, in the end, no. I mean, the House bill passed with no Republican votes, has been widely remarked on, and the Senate had just three. That's really not bipartisan. And what's happening is that the cards have been played. The gamble by the Democrats is that this is going to work. The economy is going to be better, essentially, by the 2010 midterm elections, and people will attribute that to the stimulus package, which the Democrats hope, at least. The Republicans are arguing that, well, no, it's not going to work, and they're going to be seen to be correct, and that the Democrats, they will say, wasted all this money and didn't really do the job. So the fault lines are there, and, you know, this administration is only a month old, and we have this tremendous division now between both parties on this fundamental issue facing the country, the stimulus package and the economy. So we had all this talk about bipartisanship. To me, covering the White House, it looks to me like we've gotten off on an attempt to be bipartisan, but it's not worked.
Yeah, it seems like politics as usual, quite frankly. How much of it, Ken, do you think is owing to the Republicans, as we all know, trying to restructure their leadership, rebuild the party, really redefine themselves in the wake of the presidential election? Is that part of this decision to take a tough line on the package?
I think part of it is, I think is a genuine commitment to a conservative principle that, you know, you don't intervene as much in the economy, the government should not be spending all this money, more tax cuts are appropriate. But the danger here, you saw a little of this actually in Saturday Night Live over the weekend. They started off with a segment, Dan Aykroyd, the former cast member, playing the Republican leadership, sort of essentially a bunch of white guys sitting around feeling that they're irrelevant, and their decision was, well, we don't have any ideas in the skit. Let's go after the Obama children. You know, that's a terrible image to have. But, you know, there's some polling now indicating that the Republicans are really in a dangerous place because people are seeing them as a party that does not have new ideas. And that's not a good thing in the current climate we're in.
And similarly, the public seems to be giving Obama and the new administration credit for at least trying to reach across the aisle and reach out to Republicans. And we have to look forward to things like health care, all of the many issues we have to tackle, education.
Right.
Will Obama now be more or less likely to reach across the aisle again in the future, in your view?
I think he will continue to reach across the aisle. White House officials are telling me that. They're saying that publicly. He is committed to doing this. You might note that in some of the comments he's made publicly, he's saying, well, you know, if the stimulus package doesn't work, I'm going to be a one-term president. You know, this is that fundamental. But I think he is going to try to reach out to some of these on these issues, health care, climate change, and so on. And the White House officials feel that they have more of a chance on some of these other issues, because particularly with the remaining moderate Republicans, not a lot of them left, because their districts are conservative now because of redistricting. Basically, the hope is that they can get some moderate Republicans on some of these fundamental issues like health care and climate change, and maybe even going back to immigration reform. But
yeah.
But that's down the line. I do think that Obama will try to get the what they call these down payments on some of these big issues. They've already done that with health care on this S-CHIP program, the Children's Health Insurance, which passed and Obama has approved. Was blocked by President Bush for a number of years. That's the kind of thing they're going to try to do. Down payments on the bigger issues to show that they're moving in the direction that Obama said he would move in.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. I'm speaking with Ken Walsh of U.S. News and World Report. Now, despite all we've said, Ken, the Obama administration has been pushing hard to tell us that they aren't at all worried about what Washington thinks. Here's David Axelrod again on Meet the Press.
On cable television for the last few weeks, you've heard the president's plan is in trouble. You know, this big discussion about Republicans and Democrats and so on and so forth. And it's always important to remember that the chatter in this town is not the chatter around kitchen tables in this country. And as long as we listen to the kitchen table chatter, I think we're going to stay on a truer course.
Now, we know that President Obama heads out tomorrow on a two-day tour of Western states to talk about his plan. But, Ken, it sounds a little bit like the Bush administration. They used to say that when the talking heads rallied against them, all they cared about were the people in real neighborhoods across America, not so much the folks in this town, as we all refer to Washington. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it is familiar when things don't go as well as a president would like in Washington, then the argument comes up, Democrat or Republican, President Clinton's people did the same thing, that Washington is absorbed in inside baseball and they're isolated in Washington, that it's better to get out among the people in the country and to get a sense of what they want and to pay attention to them. Now, every White House is poll-driven in some way, and no matter what they say publicly, so they know what the public wants and what's going on out there. I think the problem is to get sort of a visceral feel of what the public is looking for, particularly the middle class. That's why presidents leave Washington so often. They're so desperate to get to the White House, and once they get there, they seem desperate to get out of the place, at least for brief trips. And Obama's in that same position now. He's going to sign the stimulus bill in Denver tomorrow rather than in Washington. It's a gesture, you know, that he's trying to focus on the rest of the country. But it's a very familiar tale that the White House officials often, almost always, when they get into some kind of a problem, they say, well, it's Washington that's the problem. We're connected to everyday people. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't think it's a bad instinct to try to connect to everyday Americans, but it's tough to do, and sometimes it's just an excuse for not being able to kickstart the Washington system, which I think you see some of that in the comments that the White House people are making now.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, everyday people, that's probably a good place to finish. Who's going to actually receive and spend the money from the stimulus bill once it starts to flow? Does it go to local and state governments? Even opponents of the bill should benefit. Should we be watching to see how the money is spent to be sure that it's being spent carefully? And when will real Americans actually start to see some benefit, if Obama's right?
Right. Well, what this bill has is many, many spending provisions that have been pent up in Congress and blocked by the Republicans and President Bush. Billions of dollars in food stamps and expanded child care and services for the homeless. Lots of social programs that the Democrats have supported, increases in education, funding for low-income students, and so on. That will get into the system pretty quickly. Now, that's not going to loosen up the foreclosure problem and so on, but it will help segments of the population, many of them Democratic constituencies, by the way. So I think you are going to see also an increase in unemployment insurance. So there will be some immediate relief for people. Whether it kickstarts the whole economy, I don't know, and nobody knows. But there will be relief for important segments of the country, people who have wanted programs and haven't had them for a long time are not going to get more money. Whether it's enough, there's really no way to know.
That remains to be seen, and Ken Walsh will have plenty to talk about going forward. Thank you so much. My guest has been Ken Walsh, White House correspondent for U.S. News and World Reports. Coming up next, cuts to the New York Police Department, NYPD. No cadet class this month at the beginning of a new year. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer.